Okay. Everybody, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and today I have Sabina. Hello, Sabina.
Hello. Hello.
I think we
How
should just move in together. I mean, we were on an interview this afternoon for 2 hours. Now we're doing this one.
Right. Hey, wait a minute. Haven't I talked to you already today? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Deja vu.
This is your take two. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, to all the listeners listening right now, we're not insane. We've just been busy today. And D.W. Moffat is actually on set right now filming, so we're waiting for him to call in. He said he might be late. So it's going to be kind of, you know, rough with him having to go back and forth, I would assume. And I believe he is filming Switched at Birth right now. Sabina and I were just talking about that because I've seen Constance Marie was tweeting about that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure if he was doing that one or Happily Divorced. The man is popular, you know?
Yes, he is. Very. I don't know how he does it. I don't know. I guess it's a staggered thing, and he probably films one and then the other one, but then where's his free time from that?
Yeah. Well, I think so. I think Happily Divorced films at a different time, because when I interviewed Fran Drescher, that was in January, and she was filming Happily Divorced at that time.
Right.
So I would imagine that's over with. And because I believe it comes back in June, and then, you know, he gets a little bit of a break, maybe, and then goes into filming Switched at Birth. So unless he has a doppelganger that we're unaware of, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, there's got to be one out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Supposedly there's one for everybody. I haven't seen mine.
You know,
I don't wanna...
That's so true, because I've seen that before. Somebody tweeted a picture the other day of an actor. I believe it was one current. I want to say it was Michael, the one that plays Michael from General Hospital. And somebody had tweeted a picture of this guy, this other kid. And if they didn't say it wasn't him, I would have thought it was him, but maybe a little bit younger.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that you see that often, more often than you think you do.
Right.
Especially
when
you meet somebody and you go, oh, why do they look familiar to me? Well, maybe you saw someone like that walking across the street.
Right.
Or you were in a drunken haze and you forgot.
Okay, I can't say I've had that, but I have had times where I'll see somebody and I'll know for a fact. I'm like, that person looks so familiar. I will have sworn I've seen them and maybe met them before, but maybe it's just somebody that looks a lot like them. That happened to me. I swear that happened to me one time, and I think it was the person that I actually had known. I think it was a teacher that I had, and I saw them at it was a lighthouse that was haunted supposedly, and I went to go tour it, and this person was there in the line with me further back, and I kept looking at them like I knew them, and it didn't dawn on me till well after we had left that it was somebody that I knew from school, a teacher.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
It was too late to go say hi and make sure I was not losing my mind or anything.
Well, I've been in a bar or in a store or somewhere like that, you know, And all of a sudden, somebody will come up to me that I know, but they'll have somebody with them, and they'll say, "Hey, how you doing?" And then the other, you know, the other person that you're not sure who that is or don't recognize at all will say, "Oh my gosh, Pam, it's been forever. What have you been doing?" And I'll be looking at them like, "Huh?" You know?
Right.
What do you say at that point? The only thing you can do is just go into a conversation like you actually remember that person. But one of the things, the reason I brought up a bar is because back in the day when I would go, of course, there was always loud music playing wherever I went because I liked to dance. And so somebody would come up to me and be, like, talking to me like I should remember them. And then I'll be with somebody else, and they're like, "Well, aren't you going to introduce me?" And you want to smack the heck out of that person for saying that, you know. And so I'll make my voice, like, really low going, "Oh, okay, well, Sabina, this is, you know." And nobody ever caught on to it. And it's funny because they would always think, "Well, it's just so loud, I didn't hear what she said," you know. And then later on, my friend will ask me, like, "Well, who did you say that person was? I didn't catch their name when you said it." You know, like, that's because I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's easy to get out of situations like that when you're in a bar.
Yeah, I know. I have found his tweets from today, and it's definitely Switched at Birth that he's doing, because he tweeted out his TV daughters from Switched at Birth and a picture of popcorn on what looks like a script that I guess it was his lunch / snack. And he gives us a little sneak peek of where some of this script was. That's fun. I love that picture. I retweeted it just a few minutes ago, too. So.
Well, I'm going to have to look. I see Dessert of Champions. Is it under that one?
No, it's called...
My TV Daughters, I'm a Lucky
Man.
Yes,
that's it. Yeah, Dessert of Champions, okay. And I can't pronounce that word. A Praise Lunch. It switched at Birth, yeah. So, yeah, we definitely know for a fact he's at Switched at Birth.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I am so into that show now. I did a marathon of watching season one because it's not that I never wanted to watch the show. It's just there's so many programs on. There's only so many you can watch, and there's only so many you can DVR. And then I found the magic of On Demand, which I never, ever used, and so then I found it on there, and I watched season one, because I had watched like a couple episodes, but I couldn't remember everything that happened, and I'm so into it now. I absolutely love that show.
I do, too. I started watching it, actually, a while back. I had to catch up myself, but then once I caught up, I was hooked, and I remembered hearing about it when I met Leah Thompson in person at the Dragon Con festival here in Atlanta. And
why was she at Dragon Con?
Because of, you would have to ask me, and my brain would have to go back. Because of the Back to the Future movies, because she and Christopher Lloyd were
right.
Both here.
Yeah.
And there was one other, I forget the name of the actor, I'm sorry, he was the bald guy.
Yeah, the scientist guy, the doctor.
I'm not talking about Christopher Lloyd's character. There was a third person from the movie, and it was a different character. I don't remember which character. It was the teacher or principal or somebody.
Okay.
I've forgotten, but anyway.
I'll take your word on that.
I didn't really talk to him or meet him. I actually only met and talked to Leah Thompson and kind of sort of talked to Christopher Lloyd. All he was doing was signing his name on the picture, all the pictures that came by. He didn't stop to talk. He didn't really look up at you, and he didn't.
Not even a hello kind of thing? Or
I think he said hello while he was looking down. So that's not really giving any eye contact. And
yeah,
of course
that means don't talk to me and ask me questions.
Right? Well, he did look at me briefly when I came in for the picture because they were doing photo ops. And I first talked to Leah. I went up to her. She had very little line. I said hi to her, and I said I was going to be doing the photo op later on. And she totally recognized me when I came in for the photo op. She's like, hi, gave me a great big hug. Like, she knew me from way back. And she was a sweetheart, and I just adore her. And Christopher Lloyd was just, he just was like there and did the picture, and I went along my merry way. I was like, hi, you're great. Bye.
Maybe he was having a bad day, or, you know, you never
know.
Sometimes they don't feel good, but they make themselves show up at these events or to film something. You know, they always have to be there no matter how they feel.
Right. So I don't know what was going on, but he was cordial, at least. He wasn't, like, completely standoffish. I didn't know how to talk to him or what to say, because he didn't make me feel engaged or, you know, warm with his demeanor. And it wasn't because he was trying to be mean or nasty. It was just, he was just there. I went and did the picture, and I went and got his autograph. And when I was starting to tell him what to put for my name, the person that, like, what they call his handler, it was there saying, no, that he's not personalizing. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, because Leah totally personalized for me. She put my name and was, like, really sweet and talked to me the whole time. And, I mean, and I saw her again in the restroom, and she said hi, you know. She was walking by. I was washing my hands. It was great.
Well, thankfully, that's what you were doing and not anything else.
Well, yeah, she wouldn't have seen me otherwise. it was amazing getting to meet her. And that's why I was like, okay, I definitely have to check out this new TV show. It sounded fantastic when she talked about it, because I also went to the panel where she and a few others were talking about different things, and she did talk about it a little bit, and I was sitting there, like, kind of in a bit of, like, confusion, because I'd never watched it before. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have to start watching that now. So I did. I did the on, well, not the on demand, but I did, I watched online. What was it? On Hulu.com, you can watch TV shows for free for the most part, most shows. And I watched it there, and I was hooked immediately. I was like, oh, this is fantastic. So now I watch all the time.
Yeah, I got up to the current season that's on demand. Now, they're in season two right now, or are they doing season three?
I think they're starting to film three.
Mm-hmm. Three,
yeah,
okay.
They're doing three.
Yeah, because on-demand shows you, you know, to press either season one or current season. So I assumed current season meant season two. And I got to watch the first one, which is when Leah Thompson's character decides that she wanted to run for the Senate or something.
Yeah.
And then actually went to go talk to some guy, and then that guy talked to her, saying that her husband would be a better choice, so he was thinking about it at the end of the episode. And I absolutely have been rooting for Emmett and Bay to get back together, and in that episode they were, you know, she kind of, like, held his hand a little bit and stuff, so I'm rooting for them, because, and don't spoil it for me if they're not together, because I would be sad.
Then I'm not saying anything, but
no.
I don't know what we're supposed to do if that comes up with when we have
well,
BW come on.
Well, if he says something, then that's a different story, but I love them together. I think Emmett
is so sweet.
They were
cute together, sure.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. I said they were definitely cute together, that's for sure.
And Daphne just had her heart broke by the chef. And that was Justin Bruning. Justin Bruning used to play on All My Children, and I love seeing him pop up in different shows because I adore him. I think he's a great actor, and he's, of course, nice to look at, too. But
very
I thought that – now, did I miss something? because I'm not sure that Daphne ever found out about Emmett's mom seeing the chef.
Trying to remember back. It's been a while. I don't think right away, but she thinks she, if I remember correctly, she does realize or she figures it out.
Okay. Yeah, because I was waiting and waiting for that to happen. I figured that would break them up, but they end up breaking up for other reasons.
Right.
So,
I think you might have missed something. I don't remember where and when, but she puts it together somehow. Somebody tips her off. I forget. I think it's Emmett somehow manages to let her in on that.
Yeah, because I know he told
his mom.
He told Bay about it, or was it her brother? No, Bay's brother told her about it. And then I'm trying to remember if Emmett said anything or she said something to Emmett. I think she did say something to Emmett, didn't she? I don't remember now. I mean, with doing a marathon, you know, it kind of
plugs together.
Yeah, and
it's been a while since I saw those episodes, you know. Because I think by then I had caught up and was on basically live, like I was doing, you know, recording them on TV, which is what I'm doing now whenever it comes back. Because, we have the Hopper for the Dish Network, and that allows you to record a lot of stuff at the same time. Just a little hint there.
Yeah. Well, we have Comcast, and... You know, I'm pretty happy with it most of the time. And I know that you can get another DVR that'll let you record more than one and let you watch something at the same time. But then again, that's, you know, spending more money, and it already costs a fortune to have these kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what would we do without them? I keep trying to talk my husband into getting rid of some of the movie channels because we have, like, every movie channel that there is. And... I don't even really watch them. I watch, you know, the regular CBS, NBC, ABC, you know, CW, stuff like that, Fox. And then I watch Lifetime, and I watch, USA Network, and, you know, those things like that. And the movie channels, I don't really watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like when one movie is on one channel, you'll find it on four other ones at the same time. So what's the sense of having that?
I know. Yeah. Well, now some of those channels are doing their, you know, own shows like HBO and Showtime have shows on that I'm kind of wanting to check out. But, of course, we don't have those movie channels. So it's like, I mean, I don't need to add any more.
Well, that's just it. I don't have time.
I barely have time for what I do have to watch, right?
I mean, I see a lot of people tweeting about Dexter, which at first I didn't realize had moved to cable because it originally came out on CBS, and I watched the first season there.
Oh.
And then it never came back, so I just thought they dropped it. And then eventually I found out it was on cable, but by that time it was already like season 5 or something. And then another one, American Horror Story, but that's not my kind of thing the way it sounds.
I wanted to see that just to see what it was like, but then I was hearing some bad things about it too.
I don't hear bad stuff, but it's just like not my type of show that I would watch.
Right.
Even Dexter, to me, you know, I have to do, like, kind of through the finger thing because it gets pretty yucky and gory, you know. And then there's another one they talk about all the time, which is called Girls. And I did catch 2 episodes of it, but haven't gone back to it since because I don't have time.
Yeah, I've heard of that, but I hadn't gotten a chance to check it out. It's on HBO or Showtime, right? One of the two.
Yeah, one of them.
Main ones that, yeah. See, and the movie store I work at, we can actually borrow DVDs, you know, movies and shows.
Mm-hmm.
I could always borrow whatever I want to see, and then, you know, and watch it. But again, I don't have time.
Yeah, yeah,
I know. I don't ever find the time to watch everything I watch, so.
I know. Well, just for our listeners' sake, we are still waiting for him, and we completely understand that it's hard for him to get away to make a phone call when he's filming, so hopefully he'll be calling soon. In the meantime, later on tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, if you're a General Hospital fan, we are going to have Michael Fairman on tonight, and we want people to call in to discuss their favorite moments from the Nurses' Ball. And Michael Fairman did a lot of the red carpet events for that, so we'll be discussing that as well. On April 11th, which is Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Elizabeth Kiefer, or Liz Kiefer, as some may know her. And she's been on Guiding Light, Young and the Restless, and I know we went through this yesterday. I believe David said One Life to Live in General Hospital. And on Saturday, we have from General Hospital Mark Anthony Samuel at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. He plays Felix Dubois, the nurse that hangs out with Sabrina, and he's her best friend, and he's a hoot. I cannot wait to talk to him. And then any of the upcoming shows that we have, you can find on our website at take2radio.com, and that's with the number 2. You can follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio, and Sabina, as well as David, my other co-host, they're under Take Two Radio Crew, because they're my crew, man. Ha, 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 ha. You can listen to any of the previous podcasts either through Blog Talk, through my website, or also on iTunes. And I think that's about all I can think of off the top of my head that has anything to do. Oh, follow Blog Talk. Follow our show on Blog Talk, and you'll receive an email every time we have a guest scheduled, and that way you won't miss any of the shows that you want to listen to. And please do call in. The phone number is 1-718-506-1540. Press the number 1. And that goes for if our guest calls in shortly, I hope.
No, hopefully he can make it. I guess it's the nature of the beast doing the filming. But
well, I did talk to him earlier, and you know, he said that he was going to be on set and he would get to us as soon as possible. I know he's not going to leave us hanging, like not show up at all. He'll call in, it's just he's got to get a minute.
Yeah, I don't know how they film those shows. You know, it's not like soap operas, so I'm not even sure how their filming works, you know. But
I wonder about that, too, if it's like a movie where they, you know, they have a scene and maybe they don't like it, and so they retake it 15 times. Versus like a soap opera, you know, if you don't get it in that first take, you're basically SOL.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
They have different ways of doing that. And maybe we should ask them about that.
Yeah, that's a good question. We ought to take that down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to think of all these great questions, and then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, he better make it. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I've been looking forward to this for a while, so, yeah.
Yeah. And you can follow DW on Twitter at DW Moffett, and his last name is spelled M-O-F-F-E-T-T. And I know that I accidentally misspelled it one time when I sent him an email, and I was so embarrassed. But he says it's okay. People do it all the time. They always misspell his name.
Yeah. Well, with my name being so difficult to spell and pronounce, I make it even more of an important thing to pay attention closely, because I don't like it when people make mistakes on mine.
Mm-hmm.
And it
wasn't
all my parents' fault, because they totally took the German spelling and pronunciation from somebody they knew in Germany, and they liked it, so they, instead of turning it into the Americanized version where people can actually tell what it is, they decided to spell it the same way as the Germans. So
if they would have at least put an A at the end of your name, you know, that would have made it easier, because when I first met you, I always thought it was Sabine.
Yeah, that's what everybody does, Sabine, and I'm not even going to tell you the way that I hear it that I can't stand. Sabine is okay, but I still don't like it. It doesn't relate to me, so. But I also, whenever I say it, sometimes people will think there's an R in there, and they'll say Sabrina. That's not my name. As much as I'd love to be known as Sabrina, the Teenage Witch, but, I'm not.
What do you think? You got magical powers or something?
No. Maybe if I had the R, maybe that would be different, but no.
Yeah, but even with the R, then you would be Sabrine. People would think it would be
Sabrina. Yeah, I know, right?
So you'd have to put the A in there, too, and just make it Sabrina. Get it over with.
Yeah, really? Maybe I should just change my name completely and be. I'm just so used to it now. I mean, I've had people tell me, "Well, just change the spelling and start spelling it, or just tell people you spell it with an A on the end." But I've been used to having it that way, and it's just set. I don't feel like going through the hassle of changing or doing any of that, legally changing or anything.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then they can always come up with their own name for you, like I have, so.
Yes, but it's not as good as the one that that Lori calls me, because she calls me Flinny, and that came from an actress that I spoke with, and she dubbed me Flinny, and it stuck with that whole crowd there, but, and I like that, it's cute, I don't mind that, but yeah.
Well, does Sabina mean something in English? I mean, is it, like, does it mean Mary or something,
No,
or is it
there's
just
no, like,
a name?
It's just my name. It's just a name. I think it's like a tribe of, I've heard so many different things. There's a tribe of Indians, the Sabine River. There's all sorts of different things. I don't even know if it's truly just German or if it's Italian or if it's Spanish. It's everything. I guess it's all different places.
Okay. That explains.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's like Jorge in Spanish. In English, it means George. So that's why I was wondering if it meant anything, in English.
Oh, no, it's not one of those. Yeah, it's not. It's just that's it. And that is the German way of spelling it, and they pronounce it like the E is an A, which there's a lot of other words out there that have the E on the end that's pronounced like an A, so people put that little funky line above it. That doesn't help me either. Apparently, nobody paid attention in English and know what that means.
Right.
I don't know what that is.
Well, we could bring on my other co-host, David, who's waiting online to talk to DW. Hey, David.
How are you? How is everybody?
You want to pretend to be DW and we can grill you?
I'll try.
So are you looking forward to speaking with Liz tomorrow?
I am.
Well, you have all those guiding light questions, right?
I got some guiding light questions. I got some Y&R questions.
Okay, cool. You know what? I do. Do you have a cold?
I do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor Davey. I have my allergies at this time of year.
Yeah, I got that allergic stuff. Hopefully I'm going to be good for tomorrow.
Well, if you got to talk with a snotty nose, we'll understand.
Yeah, there's
now refresh
of
everybody.
Here.
Yeah, refresh everybody's memory on Guiding Light. Liz played
Roger Thorpe's daughter, Christina Blake Lindsay Marler. In the end, she married Jerry Verdorn's character.
Oh, and I love me some Jerry.
Yep.
But of course, so, I know Jerry from One Life to Live and not from Guiding Light.
Well, you sure do get around.
Who gets around?
They get around to all the different soaps. All the different actors and soaps.
Yeah.
They're all winding up on all the different soaps.
Oh, definitely.
Do you remember her from General Hospital?
I don't really. I mean, the one role that I remember her from is, I want to say, is One Life to Live, because she was with Bo or somebody. I remember her red hair and the...
Yeah, she was an O'Neill.
Yeah, an O'Neill. Yeah, there was like two or three sisters or something.
Yeah, there was... Dee Dee was Bo's.
Dee Dee, that's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was Connie, and she married a Vernon.
Okay.
That's what I read.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I remember. That's what I read about One Life to Turn, One Life to Live.
Now, what I don't remember, and maybe it's that short time I didn't watch Young and the Restless, I don't remember her being on there. What did she play on Young and the Restless?
She played Angela Lawrence. She was, her father was involved, with Leslie Brooks. Robert Lawrence, he was an attorney.
Okay, yeah, it must have been when I wasn't watching.
Yeah, and she was a friend of Tracy's, and she was also afraid. Do you remember Frank Lewis from the GCPD? He was a friend of Paul's father.
Sort of.
That,
I think it's when I had really a day job.
Could have been. Might have been. She was, Amy Lewis was played by Stephanie Williams. She was the black actress.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember her.
Yep, it was her, Liz, and Beth Maitland. They were like friends on the, all friends on the show, and that was like her teen years almost.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, because I watched somewhat like when Cricket was younger, and of course Tracy and what's Beth's name?
Beth Maitland.
Or not, that is Tracy, but I'm trying to think of Tracy Bregman's name.
Oh, Lauren.
Lauren, okay. Yeah, they were all like teenagers at that time, but it wasn't like an everyday thing for me. I was working. So I may have missed some of it. How long was she on there?
Oh, not very, long.
Okay, so if I blinked my eyes, I probably would have missed it then.
Yeah. Well, her father, Robert Lawrence, went on to the guy who played Robert Lawrence went on to B&B, and he was Taylor's first husband.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, before. He was Hayes, yeah. He was. That's who Taylor was married with before Ridge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I digress, and I'm going away from Liz Kiefer.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to do, huh?
Yeah.
That 6 degrees of separation.
Right.
But I read her GH, and I was surprised. I believe she was Duke's sister.
Duke's sister?
Yeah, she was a nun.
I seem to remember a nun.
Sister Camilla McKay.
Sister Mary Camilla McKay. I see that on here now. I'm looking. Wow.
I think she was Duke's sister. But I remember Duke having a sister. I remember reading Duke having a sister. And she had the accent. I remember one.
A brogue, right?
A little brogue, yeah.
Yeah. See, that rings bells with me. I'm going to have to, like, YouTube some stuff and watch it again because, you know, there's stuff that I've seen, but it's been so many years that you just don't remember, of course, every single detail. And when she played on there, that was 1986. Hello, we're in 2013.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No. You know how
I
refresh?
Who?
You know how it refreshed my memory, though, about GH? I caught something on Twitter saying, I wonder how someone asked a question on Twitter that I caught. It says, I wonder how Sister Camilla would feel if she found out her brother Duke was alive.
Oh, really? Well, somebody remembers. I want to bet that was so fan fiction. She seems to have a detailed memory of all of that.
So. Oh, yeah.
You could ask her anything about a soap.
Anything.
That's
why she
will know the answer.
Memory like that.
And, yeah, and it's not even like she has to do, like, research, because the minute you ask her, she'll give you the answer, and she'll give you the YouTube that goes with it.
That's true.
Wow.
I tested her.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's just amazing. My gosh. And you get to meet her this year, huh?
I'm going to meet her at Fan Club Weekend, yeah.
And that's when, July?
And where is that?
That's in L.A. In, the end of July.
Wow.
Ooh.
I
want
to go to one of these things. You know, between you and you having things in New York, now you're going to L.A., and Miss Sabina over there living in Atlanta and going to everything on God's green earth, I'm, like, so jealous.
Will you come?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I need some money to rain from the sky. Anybody know how to do the rain dance?
You have to come. I want you to come.
Oh, sure. I'll be right there.
You missed out on Steve Burton. I feel so bad.
Oh, I know. You and me both, considering that ticket was a gift, and I could not go. I mean, there was no possible way to go.
What ticket? Where?
Oh, for Steve Burton.
Yeah, he was in Chicago.
Oh, that's so awful.
You're telling me.
He was there? Oh, man.
Yep. Yep, and I couldn't go. I was too sick. But
that sucks.
You know he's got one in New York?
Huh?
He's something in New York. But he's going to be with Jason and Dom. I think he's having a dinner. It's called Steve Burton and Friends, so it's going to be him and Jason Thompson and Dom and Bradford.
So basically the guys of Port Chuck.
Yes. Well,
other than Dom.
And Jason Thompson.
Yeah. Well, because Port Chuck is Bradford, Brandon, Steve. And who's the fourth one? Oh, the other Steve. Scott Reed.
Scott.
Yeah.
Now, see, you have to come to Syracuse on July 20th. I'm trying to come.
Yeah.
Because Scott and Lisa.
Yeah, I'll be right there.
Yeah, I want you to come.
I know that Sabina's getting the money ready for me so I can fly to all these different places and go to all these different events. That's why she works two jobs. One is for me.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why I would love to be able to do the cruise that they're having for days, you know, the days cruise, but no, I can't do that.
When is that?
Can't afford that. That's actually Labor Day weekend, so I couldn't do that anyway because I'm probably going to end up working because my manager takes off that weekend. So I might not even get to go to Dragon Con here in this fair city like I like to do. Or I might get to go one of the days and I won't be able to volunteer, which I really enjoy doing. But I have to do a certain number of hours for it to count. And so it won't be worth doing for like one day. Yeah, I won't be able to do it. So I'd be just buying a ticket and going one of the days. I'm hoping to be able to. That's how I met quite a few people, like Leah Thompson, and I met before Larry Hagman passed. He was there. Barbara Eden. And Bill Daly, all three of them were there the same year. It was a I Dream of Jeannie reunion. And so I have a picture of me with the three of them in Jeannie's bottle. So that's a prized possession of mine right now.
Oh, definitely.
And I have his autograph. I have Larry Hagman's autograph. That is another prized possession. It's on two different – it's not on the same picture because I didn't get the picture in time. So – That was amazing.
Oh, I bet.
It's especially with Larry Hagman passing away. I mean, that means even more. And
yeah,
I'm sure you
wouldn't
sell it for anything in the world.
As much as I need money right now, that's not happening. That's my prized possession for good. I'm not letting that go.
No. No.
And I mean, I also have Barbara Eden's autograph, and, you know, she is getting up there. So that'll be another. And then Bill Daly, you know, all three of them. Fantastic.
Yeah, what's the chances of that happening? That's not anymore, of course.
No. And, you know, funny thing is, I actually met Barbara Eden before that event, before... I saw her the second time. That was my second time seeing her. I met her at a Lucy Desi festival in Jamestown, New York. She was there as the celebrity headliner because little does a lot of people know, she actually was in an episode of I Love Lucy before I Dream of Jeannie. So they had her there as the celebrity or the special headliner, and she came out and she basically took questions and talked about her time, you know, with Lucille Ball and on I Love Lucy, and it was an amazing story that I wish I knew word for word because it's just amazing, and I don't remember every word detail like she said it, but and then I got to meet her. I got a picture with her and her autograph, and she's just lovely. She is a sweetheart. It was amazing.
Oh, I could imagine.
She has a story.
Yeah.
She has a story.
Well,
went through with her son.
Mm-hmm.
It just ripped your heart out.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, there's a lot of stories out there that rip your heart out for sure. And, you know, they're just like us. They're parents and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles, and they all get affected just like we do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's two people that I actually adore, three people that I wish I could have met. And one of them is Cary Grant, and we went to Vegas a week after he finished doing a show there. So we missed him, and I didn't get to meet him. And then not long, it was either that year or the following year is when he passed away.
Oh.
And then also Katharine Hepburn. I'd love to have met her. She's one of my favorites as well. And I love her and Cary Grant in movies together. And then the other one, of course, is Lucille Ball. And, of course, Des Arnaz.
Yes,
you know, they go hand in hand. Those two I would love to have met.
I've gotten close. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I've gotten kind of close to that. I met her twice. I've actually met Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz's daughter, Lucy Arnaz. I met her twice, and I have her autograph and a picture with her because she was, of course, at two of the festivals there in Jamestown that I've been to.
Absolutely.
One of the years she actually sang. She was the, I guess, celebrity headliner guest of honor type thing, and she actually did. She sang a few of her dad's songs, and that was absolutely amazing to hear her perform live. And then getting to meet her, it was as close as I could get to meeting her mother. She was just as sweet and wonderful and lovely. And I also met Lucille Ball's cousin, Cleo, that she lived with for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw her brother. I didn't really meet him, but before he passed, I saw him. Lucille Ball's brother.
Oh.
What is it? Henry? I've always forgotten his name for some reason. But anyway, her actual brother was there. They were all there. This was, I think, the first year I went, and they were there visiting her gravesite. And we were on a bus tour, and it took us to the graveyard where she's buried and where her parents are buried, or it's just her mom. I can't remember. I think it's just her mom. But anyway, so we were there to go pay our respects to her gravesite, and her family was there. So we kind of held back and waited for them to do their, you know, visiting and laying their flowers down. And then the tour guide actually went and asked Lucy Arnaz if she'd come and say hi. So she came over and said hi to us, and we got to say hi. We didn't really talk with her one-on-one or anything. She just talked to us as a group, and then they went on their merry way. But then I think there was another year after that I was able to get pictures with her and her autograph. And then she performed, and she's amazing. Those were some great festivals. If anyone can ever go to those festivals, that is definitely a good festival to go to.
Yeah, I would like to even just get to Jamestown be able to see the museum.
Yeah, it's a great museum. They have all kinds of wonderful additions to that museum. It's not just the museum, but there's other parts to it that are in different buildings. And they have, like, a replica of the set, of all the different sets, the living room, the kitchen, and then the Tropicana. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's just what they have there is fantastic. Plus, they have the house that she grew up in. There was somebody that was on the board that had the ability to buy the house, and then they renovated it and turned it into basically what it looked like when she grew up there. And they haven't really opened it up for tours. They kind of have, but it's rather expensive. So I'd love it for them to kind of drop the price and make it a little more accessible. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I haven't gotten to tour it because, of course, I couldn't afford it. It was just like $200 or more just to go through. And then I guess you get a picture of you in the house or whatever. But, yeah, so they've renovated the house, and I think I've seen a couple of photos, but that not very many are out there, so... It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I bet.
I can imagine. I mean, just to be in the same place that she was would mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
I've watched every single episode of I Love Lucy a billion times over, and I laugh every time, and my husband doesn't get that. He's like, you've seen this episode how many times, and you're still laughing with tears coming out of your eyes? I'm like, it's just that funny. It doesn't matter how many times you've seen it, you know?
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people pick a certain episode, like the Vita Vegemin, whatever, how you say it, as their favorite, and also the Chocolate Factory one, but those are good, but I have actually different favorites, and one of them is when they were going to California, and they're driving, and they want to take a stop and get some sleep, and they go into this cabin, and there's bunk
yes.
beds, and then Ethel ties Fred into the bed, and then the train goes by, and they're all moving, and then Ethel comes out of the bathroom. She's got toothpaste all over her face. I just laugh. I think that's so funny.
I know. I love that one, too.
Yeah, and then the other one I love is when, and it's not funny, but it's emotional, is when Ricky is singing in the club, and Lucy has tried to tell him 10,000 times already that she's pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's sitting in the club, and she's, you know, somebody says, can you play Having My Baby? And he's all happy. Come on, who is it? Who is it? And then he looks at her, and she smiles and nods her head, and he's still not getting it, you know. And then eventually he gets it. Oh, my God, I love that episode.
And you know what wonderful thing I found out about that episode? They really showed their true emotions because she was really pregnant at the time, and they just had that.
Right.
That just came over in that scene and in that episode. Just
exactly.
Full on their own emotions. So that makes it even more emotional for me.
Yeah.
Knowing that,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. Or that when she did have the baby and Ricky shows up in that costume.
I know. Oh. Made the nurse faint. Oh, goodness. Oh.
Yeah,
you know,
listeners must think we're nuts, but.
I know, right? Well, my favorite one is also an offbeat one that I can never remember the name. It's not one of those right in your face, you know it, you know, immediately, but it's where Lucy can't make up her mind, and they go to a restaurant, and they move 50 million different times to different tables,
oh,
and finally
seats?
The waiter just
yeah.
gets up and leaves
mm-hmm.
and quits.
Yeah.
That is hysterical. That just makes me die laughing every time.
I know.
I can't get over that one.
Or all the ones in California where her and Ethel are all star happy trying to meet all the different ones and all the crazy things that she does. And the one where Bill, what the heck is his last name? He ends up with a plate of spaghetti in his lap. Or
William Holden.
Yeah.
William Holden, that's who it
William
is.
Holden.
Yeah.
Holden.
Yeah, the other one, she's on the bus and she gets off to pick the orange or the grapefruit from some tree. She ends up under the bear rug. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the one about what she's doing with Harpo Marx?
That's the next
yes,
one
I
was going to
say.
That. Yes. That was perfect,
oh
the way they moved their hands and everything.
On.
Oh, my
uh-huh.
God. I wonder how much rehearsing they did for that to be so dead on.
I don't know, but from what it seemed like, I don't think they did as much as, you know, even today. I think they really just had that rapport and that spot-on technique right off the bat, and they just went for it. It was
yeah.
amazing. I loved it.
Yeah,
it was
well,
like
she could do anything, you know.
Oh, I know. I know.
Another
That's
funny one to me is one where she's reading that book, and then she's convinced Ricky's going to kill her. And
yes.
Oh.
She goes out the window.
Yeah.
She comes in, and she jumps and flies out the window.
And she's got the pots and pans under her robe for if she tries to shoot
yeah.
her or something.
Uh-huh. Oh, speaking of something under the clothes, the other one that just makes me die laughing every time is the tango where they're practicing mm-hmm. the tango. She's stuffed all those eggs in her clothes.
Yes.
And
yes.
he's like, oh, let's practice now. And then he wants to practice the final part where they crash together and bam,
yep.
oh, the look on their faces. I can see it right now. It's hilarious.
I know. And can you imagine how that felt? Yuck.
I know. Because it was real eggs. They did. They
yep.
totally didn't do anything different. They just used the real deal. And oh, my gosh. But Ricky's eyes get so
mm-hmm.
big. Oh,
I wonder if they didn't tell him they were going to be real eggs, you know?
I know.
How about
either.
Other one? The other one that got me so hysterical is when they were in Italy and then Moose in there stomping grapes with that.
Yep.
Yes.
And then she didn't get that part because
so
she was all purple or blue or something from being in there.
Yeah.
And that lady, that Italian lady that was in the tub with her, like going after her, oh my God, that was so funny.
Oh, geez.
And I heard later that was not supposed to happen. Like, it just happened because, I don't know, she got upset or something. And so she went and it was totally, you know, just off the cuff. And they went with it, and it worked perfect.
Oh,
I
didn't
learned
know that.
Some really interesting Yeah, I learned some really interesting things going to these festivals, actually. Because you learn some inside scoops, too. I mean, and I met a lot of different people that had contact with Lucille Ball and the show and whatnot. And, you know, different people that worked either. There was a writer from the show. There were different people that would come to the events. And then apparently her biggest fan, what he's called her biggest fan, and he knows everything that ever is and all the little ins and outs and details, and he got to meet her really close to the end, and apparently he was her biggest fan, and so
mm-hmm.
he came and shared his stories of what kind of person she was and what she was like, and that again that really made it even more amazing to get to know who she was even after she's no longer around. And that was very sentimental to me to get
right.
to hear firsthand from people that knew her all kinds of stuff. So, yeah,
it makes a difference. And I collect like a million different Lucy things, and I actually have an original score of music and the words to the music that Desi Arnaz wrote. And I
mm-hmm.
right now I couldn't tell you what it was, but I have that. I actually
awesome.
Have an original Desi Arnaz doll. It's from back in the day. And different things, lots and lots of different things. But I stopped collecting because it was like getting out of hand. I had like nowhere to put stuff anymore.
I know. I do have a collection that I started up. I have a bunch of handbags and purses and stuff like that. I have a couple of clocks, and I have I have a mug that a friend of mine gave me, and I wish I could remember what it says off the top of my head, but it's got Lucy and Ethel's picture on it,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I have, you know, a bunch of other little odds and ends. Plus, when I went to these events, I would get a few, like, the posters that were there, and have all the people that were there, all the special guests and the headliner signed, you know, the poster and whatnot. Like when they were at, I forget the town the name of the town, but when they were in jail and it was Tennessee.
Oh,
Ford,
you know what? Which one?
Okay.
The cousin.
The twins.
Oh yes.
The twins that they're trying to get to help them get out of the cell, and the twins came in and were performing for Desi. Well, I actually got to meet one of the actresses that played the twins. It was a set of twins, and I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I only met one. I think only one was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I met her, and I forget which one it was. You know, so.
Yeah, and what was the guy's name that was her cousin that was trying to get her out and one of the twins wanted to marry him? He's famous. What's his name?
Tennessee Ernie Ford.
There you go. Yeah. When you talked about the jail one, you know which other one is my favorite? When they're in Europe and Lucy gets arrested and I think it's a German jail that they're in, like in the main room, and the Germans gotta tell the Italian, and the Italian has to tell the Frenchman, and the Frenchman has to tell the Spanish man, and the Spanish man tells Ricky, and then Ricky tells Lucy in English everything that they said because they were talking about the counterfeit paintings or money or something. Yeah, that one is
that is a good one.
That one I
That's
like too.
Hilarious. Yeah. See, there were a lot of I guess more obscure ones that if you're a true fan, you know all of them, you know, and a lot of those were so funny, but I guess the ones that are the most famous one that are very very well known are the ones that are the most favorite, you know, by a lot of people, but
yeah.
And I did love the Meet a Benjamin. That really was absolutely hysterical.
Well,
and I'll laugh every time I see it.
Yeah.
And actually, there is a Lucy impressionist that is spot on fantastic out there in LA. And she was on a competition show. It was called the Next Best Thing. And they were looking for impressionists that were known for being like spot on, exactly like their, you know, the character,
whoever they
whatever.
Were trying to imitate. Yeah.
And Suzanne LaRouche is the one that she actually was on the show, and she came really close to winning. And I think it ended up going to an Elvis impersonator. and not even the one I was wanting, because there was one that was way far better than the one that won, and I was like, no. And I wanted her to win because she was, I mean, she is spot on. And I've actually seen her perform live. She does a one-woman act show where she acts as Lucy, not Lucille Ball, but Lucy as, you know, from I Love Lucy, and does all the faces and all of the mannerisms and all of the sounds and the voice. And she looks exactly like her when made up, but when she's not made up, she looks so different. So it's like, I mean, it's like seeing her today, live, for real, because she is spot on fantastic. So it's amazing how well she does. And
they actually had one recently here, but I didn't get to go to it. And I think it was Lucy and Ethel, if I remember correctly.
You're thinking of I Love Lucy on or live. There is a touring show.
Yeah, something like that.
That's what it was, because I remember them saying it was in Chicago, and I'm thinking, I know somebody in Chicago should go, and I would love to have gone, but I can't travel there just to go. I'm hoping they bring it here, because, I mean,
well,
Atlanta's
it's in the winter time.
Right.
Do you know what it's like to drive in the winter in Chicago? Forget about it. It wasn't around the corner either.
Yeah, no, I've not been to Chicago in the winter, and there's a reason for that. So, yeah, I get you on that.
I know, right? Oh, my gosh. It just, you know, it's not like we can't drive in it, but when there's, you know, 5 feet of snow out there, it's you just don't want to.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to either.
No. So, David, who have you all met besides the guys from GH?
I met the cast of As the World Turns a couple times. And that's about it. Just the cast from As the World.
Well, the whole cast. I mean, that's a pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, how did you manage that?
Mm-hmm.
How did I manage that? Oh,
yeah.
It was at the fan luncheon.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Fan Luncheon in New York. Yeah. Oh my God, it was surreal. I mean, because I've never met like anybody, you know, until then. Or spoken to them like
right.
that. And my first one that I ever met was Leslie Kay.
Oh, okay.
She was the first one I met when I was there on the stop for autographs and like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she just knocked my socks off, I tell you.
Well, she's very pretty.
She is.
And I'm sure they were all very nice. Otherwise, you know, they wouldn't want to go to those things.
Mm-hmm.
They were nice. I mean, I met Maura West. Michael Park, John Hensley, who's Dr. Mead on B&B now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I met Martha Byrne a couple times. I met Liz Hubbard. Well, it's Mark Collier. Grayson McCooch.
Well, you all get around.
Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you that many, many years ago, I met some people from All My Children and One Life to Live, which I will never forget. But unfortunately, here's how it happened. It was a luncheon.
Right.
And they were up on the stage, and then the one guy that was hosting it, you know, was talking, and he was like our local, he was like on our local news or AM Chicago or something like that.
Right.
And he asked who wanted to come up there and help ask questions. So after three drinks and no lunch yet, I raised my hand. Along with, you know, a lot of other people, but I was close to the stage, so he chose me. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I don't even want to go up there, you know, because I was so nervous. So I went up there, and Phoebe Tyler was there.
Oh.
Do you remember her?
Yeah.
And I can't think of her real name, but Phoebe Tyler was there. And Tina Lord from One Life to Live.
Right.
And
Evan.
Her husband, Cord Roberts.
Okay, John Loprino.
Yep, he was there in real life. They were married in real life at that time.
They were.
And there was, who else was there? There was somebody else from All My Children there, and I can't think. There was like six people, but I mean, this is so long ago. But anyways, I'm up there, and I'm helping Rob, you know, ask the questions. And he had introduced me to each one of them, and I shook all their hands and so on. And my sister is running around the stage because it's like a U-shaped stage. And she's
right.
running around the stage, and she's flashing pictures, and you know, and she's trying to capture it all with me up there and stuff like that. We go home, and she finds out that she forgot to put the film in the camera.
Oh, no.
I could have killed her.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, geez.
Here I'm thinking I'm going to have all of these great pictures and these memories with these people, and she had no film in the camera.
Oh, that's
so
awful.
There was, of course, other people with us, and I did get a few pictures from other people. But then, you ready for this?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
One of my first apartments I moved into
right.
was a basement apartment, and you
right.
can guess what happened. It got flooded.
Oh.
My
oh, no.
landlord shut off the sump pump when he was working on it and didn't turn it back on, and we had probably 10 inches of rain, like, all at one time. the water was up to my waist. So
oh, no.
I lost those pictures. I lost pictures of me with Steve Perry from Journey and the guys from Journey.
Oh.
I lost pictures of me with Cheap Trick. I lost me with Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Because
see,
I
you've
did
met a whole bunch of people that I
well,
would love to
but,
admit.
But the thing is, I met more music people because at that time, you know,
uh-huh.
I was younger and I was more into music. So we went to a ton of concerts. I mean, we would go like weekly to concerts.
So, how did you get to meet them at the concerts? I've gone to plenty of concerts and I've yet to meet one of the acts that I would have loved to have met.
Well, with Steve Perry and Journey, it was general admission for the tickets, and we got there a couple hours early, but still the line was like halfway around the block. And it was basically as soon as they open the doors, you know, you get to sit wherever you make it to. So mm-hmm. at that time, I was in great shape. I could run really fast, you know. And me and my two girlfriends, no, me and my one girlfriend, it was only me and this girl, Debbie, we, you know, we barreled through there, and we got like second row seats. And so then at the end of the concert, we happened to be walking back to our car, which was like halfway around the block, and we had to pass, you know, cross an alley. And the alley has the back door for where the venue was. And all of a sudden, we seen them coming out and going to the bus. So we ran over there, and we asked them, you know, of course, if we could have their autograph and get a picture, and they did.
Awesome.
And yeah, and then Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons was playing at a small place around my house. And then we, me and my two girlfriends, waited until the concert was over, and we were talking with the roadies. And just the roadies all of a sudden just offered to take us in the back where they were having a party, and Frankie Valli and everybody was back there. And then after that party, they offered us free tickets for the next day. But we left there, and then we went to the bar down the street with them, and Cheap Trick happened to be in that bar.
No. So, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So we got a bunch of pictures with them, and then we got our free tickets, and we went back the next day, and we had a blast again.
That's awesome.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't think of who else right now that I've met, but yeah, I've met more musicians than I have actors.
Well,
and
that's
those pictures
fine.
You have.
What?
Those pictures you have, right?
No, everything
no,
was gone in the flood.
Everything was gone. I thought
everything
those were,
was gone in the flood.
I thought those were like new pictures you're taking after that.
Mm. Don't you wish you could have done that?
Oh,
gone
yeah.
back and had
yeah.
some more?
Well, and too, in those days, you know, there wasn't the time of digital.
Right.
And so we didn't get to, you know, we couldn't go back. And if you had the, what do you call it? What do you call those things? I can't
what?
Think what they're called. You know, when you take a picture and you get the,
right.
the film,
oh,
the negative.
The negative.
The yeah. So the negative, of course, was with everything. I kept everything together. The negatives would be on the inside cover of the photo book that I had put the photos in.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so
I have a
no
similar
cigar.
I have a similar situation that you had almost but well it's almost similar. At my first fan luncheon in New York for As the World Turns, I had my digital camera. It's my very first digital camera, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here I'm going. And I, you know, I'm new to the digital stuff back then, so
mm-hmm.
I get going. I'm in there, And I said, oh my God, the juice is gone and I can't recharge.
Oh,
I said, here I am.
That's another thing I've had too.
So you'll never guess what I did.
What did you do?
I ran all the way down 6 flights of stairs.
Oh my God! To
the gift shop to buy a throwaway.
Oh my God!
I bought a throwaway. Guess how much the throwaway was?
What, like $10?
No, try around 22.
Oh, well, at least it was worth it for what you wanted to do, you know?
Yeah, I ran, and I had Dara, you know, bust my butt real fast and says, can you help me? I'm looking for a camera. I didn't know where to go, so I tried. I asked a couple questions and says, you might try in there. And they said they had one of those, you know, ones, disposables.
Yeah.
So I bought one of those, and then I hurried my butt back up 6 flights of stairs. So I could get back and so I could enjoy my dinner.
Yeah.
Oh,
my gosh.
My God, I could have died. I tell you, that was my first digital camera. So I didn't know about if it was recharging, how much you had to recharge or like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I take my daughter to concerts with me, and here, you know, I let her take the pictures because she's the photographer, and, you know, she has a good camera that we bought her, and she would take a couple pictures, and she'd go, Mom, my battery's dead. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Olivia, you couldn't tell me to bring an extra battery, or your battery was running low, or, you know, and you can't leave a concert to go buy a battery. You know, I can't tell you how many times she did that to me. So, anyways, I guess DW is not going to be able to make it. I mean, we've been holding show here for an hour and 15 minutes, and he must just be really tied up in filming. And I do apologize to our listeners, and we will reschedule with him when he has more time to actually get on the phone. I'm sure that he's very apologetic as well for not being able to make it because he really wanted to. I spoke with him earlier today, and he said, you know, we'll work it out. We'll get on there. He says, I just might be a little late. Well, it's 20 after 7 here in Chicago, so I think it's time to wrap up. And I enjoyed talking with you guys. I hope our listeners weren't too bored out of their minds.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Everybody.
And David, I will see you at 10 p.m. Eastern when we talk about General Hospital and the Nurses Ball with Michael Fairman tonight.
Michael, would you like me to come on with you, or do you want to give me a cue, or how do you want to do that?
I'm going to leave you in the dark.
Okay.
We'll wrap up now. We'll talk on Skype, and I do apologize to everybody, and we will reschedule with DW. And thank you for your patience. Thank you for listening to us talk, and have a good night, everybody.
I hope you'll join
us later on if you're GH fans. Okay,
bye, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, all.